meditation of my heart. Be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Have you ever made a tent with children? My grandchildren love it when we make a tent in their family room. I mean, it's pretty simple. We take a blanket, we throw it over the sofa and the coffee table, and voila, we have a tent. We crawl into this dark, cozy space and read books or have a snack or watch cartoons. This tent makes us feel protected and safe. And I imagine this is what the chicks feel like too, in that tent under their mother's wings. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, the center of Jewish political power. Some people think that Jesus is not aware of Jerusalem politics, but those who think that have not read the Gospels very closely. Jesus was no stranger to political maneuvering. Because right before this passage, Jesus warns that in God's kingdom, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last. This is a political statement that calls for the reorganization of society. This statement did not sit well with Herod Antipas. Herod Antipas is a son of Herod the Great. We remember Herod the Great. He's the one that ordered the massacre of the infant Jewish boys after Jesus' birth. Now, this tetrarch, Herod Antipas, is much weaker than his emperor father, but he is just obsessed with status and power, and this obsession is fueled by the politics of Jerusalem. Nothing will alarm those on the top in comfortable positions like Herod Antipas and the Jewish leaders than the suggestion they may end up the bottom. So it's no surprise that as soon as Jesus utters these words, some Pharisees, some religious leaders say, get out of town now, because Herod wants to kill you. Jesus responds to this outwardly friendly warning by the Pharisees as if he knew it's politically motivated. Go tell that fox for me, he says. Jesus knows these Pharisees are in cahoots with the conniving, calculating Herod. He is fully aware that the kingdom he proclaims, especially for the poor and neglected, is a challenge to them. And he's taking this challenge of the political system all the way to the top. He will not stop in small towns. He is on his way to the capital city of Jerusalem. Jesus makes it clear he will not stop until he reaches the center of the political system that needs to be dismantled. And so it is today. The challenge to our political system to create God's kingdom does not stop at the doors of state houses in Illinois, or Indiana, or Wisconsin. This challenge goes all the way to the steps of Washington, D.C. Jesus knows that Jerusalem, or Washington, D.C. for that matter, will not welcome his prophetic vision. Jerusalem doesn't welcome the prophets. It murders them. Even today, our places of political power are often where dreams of a new and just world go to die. Jesus expects scorn in Jerusalem, but he does not return that hate with hate of his own. When he calls Herod a fox, he could have sparked a revolution amongst his followers. Kill the prophet killers. Burn spiteful Jerusalem to the ground. But instead of hate, Jesus laments Jerusalem. How often I have desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wing. You were not willing. Jesus weeps, wishing that the people would have listened to his truth, a truth that promised life, drove out fear, and gave peace and mercy. Jesus is not judging Jerusalem. He is calling them to repentance. He's just told four parables, which are stories of repentance. The barren fig tree that needs just one more year to grow. The woman who had been bent over for 18 years, but was straightened on the Sabbath. The mustard seed that grew to shelter flocks of birds. And the yeast that was mixed with flour into an abundance. Jesus' lament over the city of Jerusalem is a final call to repentance. He is heartbroken over the city of God. He's the mother hen that shows God's will to protect Jerusalem. Perhaps we can best imagine Jesus' broken heart by imagining our children going astray. Even if they've not gone astray, we have at least seen them make some bad decisions. We want desperately to protect them from harm, but realize we can't stop them from making mistakes. We too try to be mother hens. We can offer them shelter under our wings, but we can't force them to accept it. And at some point, they must stretch their wings and try to fly. We ache when they stumble. Our hearts break when they fail. We know the fox did indeed kill the mother hen on a hill outside of Jerusalem. And the chicks scattered. But the politics of Herod and the politics of today will not win. The foxes are not in control as much as they like to think they are. There is a true and living God who is creating a kingdom in which the last will be first and the first will be last. Jesus, like a mother hen, is willing to sacrifice himself for our well-being, offering forgiveness and freedom and grace. Jesus, like a mother hen, gathers all of God's children under his wings. Being chicks under his wing reminds me of being in my grandchildren's tent, gathered in a warm, safe space. We are gathered under the promise of his resurrection. We are gathered under the wings of his love. We are gathered, all of us, into God's kingdom, where the fox is left out in the cold. So, dear church, come to the table and be gathered into his love. Then go, share the good news of God's kingdom. Just beware of the foxes. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. Please rise for the hymn of the day.